Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7. And we are going to start today with the beginning of the Bible. But I want to read first from the book of Ecclesiastes. Go to Ecclesiastes 1:9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come, and those that shall come after. He's saying there, anything that's been done in this world has already been done. There's nothing new. It was done of old times. It's been buried. There's no remembrance of it. And nothing is new that comes about. Now I want you to turn with me to the beginning of the Bible. You're turning the wrong way. Don't go to Genesis. Go to Jeremiah 4, believe it or not. This is the beginning of the Bible. I'm going to show you right now why. This is the oldest reference verse in the Bible. Jeremiah 4:23. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. Remember that, how the mountains trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, but there apparently had been man, and all the birds of the heaven were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness. That's speaking of the garden. The fruitful place was wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord, and by his fierce anger. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. Interesting. I want to go back to 23 again and make sure we understand exactly what condition the earth is in. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. Remember that, no light. And 24, I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. Jeremiah is seeing this earth covered in water. And that's the light trembling you see. You ever look at a rock or something beneath the ripple of the top of the water? It gives a little light rippling, moving effect. He's beholding a flooded earth. Oh, this is Noah's flood. No, it's not. It said the earth had no light. God had put out the light in his fierce anger. Men had all been killed. Animals had all been killed. The cities, it says, are broken down at the fierce anger of the Lord. But 27 says, for thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet I will not make a full end. Now, read 23 one more time, then we're going to turn back to Genesis 1, which you thought was the beginning of the Bible. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. Go over to Genesis 1 now. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. This is the second time. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light for at least the second time. We don't know. The preacher in Ecclesiastes said over and over, it could be new, it could be old. What has been done will be done again and again and again, is what he said. All we know is God has given us a clue there in Jeremiah that this is at least the second time, and this ties this Bible to all of the science that's in the world. Yes, these fossils are 6 million years old. The Christian says, oh no, that's impossible. My Bible says this earth is only 9 or 10,000 years old. No, the former earth, this earth has been here that long. And there was civilization on this earth before. It said the cities were broken down. God flooded the earth the last time. Why do you think he put a rainbow in the sky after Noah's flood? He said, I'm never going to do it again. Because he'd done it before. That was at least the second time on Noah. You know, he's probably thinking, you know, it always turns out the same. They go bad. I'm not going to continue. You know, what is the old saying? You know, do you continue doing the same thing and getting the same results? Insanity?
Right.
God says, I'm not doing it anymore. I will never flood it again. So this is at least the second time around. Verse 3, Genesis, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, and the light was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. There was a very, very thick water vapor in the atmosphere at the time of this creation. But now we know the earth was already here. Civilization had been here. And God had flooded it in his anger and put out the sun. And now he has just brought light again. But he hadn't brought the sun yet. If you thought that's what happened, stay tuned. God called firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let dry land appear, and it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. What was the light that he said when he said, let there be light? That was the light of his presence. God came back to this planet and lit it up with the presence of Almighty God. And then here it says he's created a sun and a moon now, one for day, one for night. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. You see, every word in this book has to be analyzed. There is so much between the lines. You can just read by, you know, for years I read that, and God said, let there be light. And the sun appeared in the sky. 98% of Christianity believes that. That's not what happened. Look at it. Analyze it. Look at every word. Ponder every sentence, read it over and over again. God, the presence of God was the light. And then he went on to make the sun, or light it back up, because he'd already put it out. God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over day and over night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth, and the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. God is the great technician. He doesn't say, I'm going to make a whale, and a big whale appears. Look at that real close. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that hath life. He took them, and he formed the little tiny microscopic things. He took them, and he formed them into what he wanted. One went into a whale, one became a dolphin, one became a fish. And you're going to see that he does something similar with man here in a minute. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Okay, things are going to get real exciting here, because you're going to hear something you have never heard before. And it's right here in this book. Listen closely. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image. Who's he talking to? The host of heaven, most likely Christ, his son, begotten son, who said, the word was with God, the word was God, before the foundations of the earth. And the Holy Spirit, maybe, a whole room full of angels, I think the Trinity, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Remember that right there. Male and female created he them. Two creations right there. Correct? Male and female, Jonathan?
Yep.
Two creations.
Yep.
Two beings stood before him at that time. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Replenish the earth. Mm-hmm. How many times, Christian, have you read that? And you just walked right past that word. What does replenish mean? It means there was some here already before, and for some reason they're no longer there. Mm-hmm. Something has been removed. God says, I want you to replenish. He makes a man and a woman. And he doesn't say, go and populate the earth. He doesn't say, have babies and fill the earth. He says, replenish it. Because it used to be full of humans. Replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea. And over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree that which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Let's look at 29 again. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Vegetarians, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. There's a key word in there, verse 30, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, do everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. Remember that word life, because God didn't breathe life into everything that eventually gets here. We're going to show you that. But at this point, God has created a male and a female and told them to go replenish the earth, because all the inhabitants of the earth had been wiped out. That has been passed over and passed over. There are two accounts of creation in the book of Genesis. And Christianity just said, oh, the second one is just a rehash of the first one. But it's not. You got to look at the words. And the key words there is, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Two entities immediately stood before him. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Chapter 2, Book of Genesis, Between the Lines, with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7. Pay attention. It's going to get very exciting here. It's going to answer a lot of questions. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Okay, it's a lot of controversy over whether this was seven actual days or a period of 7,000 years. The Bible makes a reference to 1,000 years is but a day to the Lord. I personally think it was 7,000 years, but it's okay. It doesn't matter. 7 days is great. 7,000 years is great. The key is God did it. God said it, and he did it. Verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Okay, so we have creation here. He is he's made. He came and brought his light, the light of himself, to a dark, void earth that had been destroyed by a flood, and God had put out the sun. It says so in Jeremiah. He came, he brought light, he brought the waters down, he brought the dry land up. He established the sun again and the moon. He went on to create the fish in the sea and all the creatures, the animals on the land. And then he created a man and a woman. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. And now he rested on the seventh day, in the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Why is there not a man to till the ground? God just made a man and a woman and said, go replenish the earth.
Right.
But there wasn't a man to till the ground. And he's talking about that beautiful place that he said became a wilderness in Jeremiah. The garden, his temple on earth, was a beautiful garden at one time. And in Jeremiah says, the beautiful place had become a wilderness. And look, after he's created man and woman, he says, oh wait, there's no man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Okay, that is different than this male and female that he created just on the other page. So I'm going to go back to 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Okay, so then he rests on the seventh day. And he says, oh, there's no one to look after my garden. So the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. It doesn't say he did that to these other two. That is the essence of God he put in this man. This was going to be a special man. His priest, the one who tends his temple here on earth, the garden. It wasn't a building. It was the beautiful place. The Lord God planted a garden east of Eden. There he put the man whom he had formed for a special purpose. Not these other two. Their purpose was to replenish the earth. This man was put in the garden to tend it. God's special priest, an anointed special human being that he breathed the breath of life into. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant in the sight and is good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Okay. The name of the first is Pison. That is that which encompassed the whole land of Hivalah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There's bedlam, there's onyx stone. You know, I always wondered. She's got one man now. This is the original thinking, Christianity. You got one man. Why is God saying there's gold, bedlam, and all these things? Why would man even know about this? But there was a civilization before this, an advanced civilization. There are artifacts thousands of years old that are airplanes. They're detailed models of airplanes. I mean, the Sanskrit texts talk about atomic weapons. This world was highly advanced. There are stones in structures in Egypt and South America that are bigger and heavier than we can move today. There was a world before this one. Jeremiah said so. And when God said, "Let there be light," it was for at least a second time. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compassed the whole land of Ethiopia. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. That it is which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. You know, man has always searched for where the Garden of Eden was, because the Euphrates here is the only one that exists today. But recently, through satellite imagery, they are finding dead river beds in the deserts and getting a little closer to piecing the puzzle together to exactly where this was. Verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, was that the name thereof. Cattle, and the fowl of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof." Why didn't he just say, "Make a woman"? Because he's the great technician. He took DNA material from Adam and had deep sleep. Didn't just put him to sleep for a couple hours during the surgical procedure. A deep sleep. This man slept 13 years, I do believe. And when he awoke, God had grown a clone female. Oh, Pastor Dave, you're insane. "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Chapter 3, Book of Genesis. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." Now remember who God had spoken this commandment to. He spoke it to Adam. Adam transferred it to Eve. God never spoke it directly to Eve. "The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." These people didn't have any clue what death was. It hadn't existed yet. In this world, the entire other world, Jeremiah talked about had died. But he also, but Ecclesiastes says, no remembrance of anything from before will be remembered. There's no knowledge of that in these folks here. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Who is this serpent character? It is not a snake crawling around on the ground.
Oh, no.
And he's been here a long time. In fact, he was already here when God turned the lights back on. He was banished here. He couldn't wait till the lights came back on so he could start spreading his lies again. Mm-hmm. And deception. Trying to tear down everything that God ever creates. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Okay, so they don't even know what a lie is. Why would they not believe this creature? I mean, when a human being talks, he only tells what is correct and true. Correct, Jonathan? Yeah? I mean, innocent. These are innocents.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, 100%.
Like, these are innocents.
There's no corruption.
Absolutely no corruption.
Right, he is the corruption, but it's not there presently.
That's right. I would absolutely have believed it.
Yeah, because, I mean, why would God let anybody like that around?
Yeah.
His beams. Right.
But God had said, don't eat of it.
Right.
But this guy says, well, God wasn't exactly being truthful with you. You're not going to die. You're going to be like him. Wow, what an amazing... I mean...
The temptation.
How could you not want to be like God?
He just created everything. Yeah.
Yes. It wasn't just about eating an apple. Oh, you know, that looks like it tastes good, but I'll really be like God? And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. In an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, they knew good and evil. And they knew they had disobeyed God. The only sin in this book is a disobedience to God. Oh, Pastor Dave, there's thousands of different kinds of sins. No. They all equate to disobedience to God. And that's what they had done. They just disobeyed God, and they knew it instantly. Before that, moments before, they didn't know what a lie was. Mm-hmm. Didn't even know what disobedience was. But as soon as they done it, they believed this creature. He told them, no. No, God just said that because he doesn't want you to be like him. As soon as you eat from this, you'll be like him. So what they do, they realize they're naked. Never dawned on them before. Just frolicking around the garden, no clothes on. What freedom that it must have been. I'd like to frolic around a garden like that and not worry about what if my neighbor sees me. So they cover their sin themselves. How many Christians try to cover themselves, their sinful natures? The sins that they do, they cover themselves. They sewed fig leaves together and covered themselves, just like Bob Smith. He's sinning. He covers himself with a lie. And that lie requires another lie to cover that lie. They covered themselves, tried to cover themselves. Human beings cannot cover their own sin. That's why the law that's coming up doesn't work. There's nothing you can do with your hands that can cancel out disobedience to God. And that's what they did. They used their hands to try to cover the disobedience to God. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. We don't know how many years, and I think it was a lot of years, that they were living in that garden before this happened. They never hid from God. And that's what disobedience does. It puts a separation between you and God.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.